A row over license plates reignites tension between Serbia and Kosovo. Both sides have deployed soldiers and special police to the border. Why has one of Europe's forgotten disputes escalated now? This is Inside Story. Welcome to the programme. I'm Imran Khan. Their war ended 21 years ago, but ethnic and political divisions remain alive between Serbia and Kosovo, and they've escalated in the past week over car licence plates. Serbia doesn't recognise Kosovo plates and makes drivers buy temporary ones while going through the country. When Kosovo did the same, Kosovo Serbs blocked two border crossings and set a vehicle registration centre on fire. Tensions worsened when Kosovo sent special police to the area. Serbia then sent tanks to its side of the border and flew fighter jets overhead. NATO peacekeepers have increased their patrols in the area to try and calm the situation.
It's been 7 days of these activities aimed only to raise tensions and threaten the Serbian people. That must be stopped. The situation has returned to as it had been before when the circumstances were. I can't say normal because they have not been normal for the past 21 years, and then we can sit down and talk.
The European Commission President is visiting the region and is urging all sides to talk.
It is vital that Kosovo and Serbia normalize their relations. We've been discussing the issues. I must say I'm very concerned about the current crisis. It is important to de-escalate and to return to the negotiation table to find a sustainable solution. And the only way to do that is the EU-facilitated dialogue that is the only platform to resolve the current crisis.
Last week, Serbia refused the dialogue in Brussels while giving conditions, and this week they refused the agreement proposed by the NATO-led peacekeeping Kosovo force. We accepted both of these proposals.
Kosovo declared independence from Serbia in 2008 after years of strained relations between the majority ethnic Albanian population and minority Serbs. The US and major European Union countries recognise Kosovo's breakaway, but Serbia refuses to do so. Kosovo's membership of the United Nations is blocked by Serbia's traditional ally, Russia. About 4,000 NATO peacekeepers remain on the ground after the military alliance intervened to end the Kosovo War in 1999. The EU began sponsoring talks between the two sides in 2013, but they've made little progress. Resolving the conflict is one of the main conditions for both countries to join the bloc. Let's bring in our guests in Belgrade, Jarko Krajac, former Deputy Prime Minister of Serbia; in Berlin, Bodo Weber, Senior Associate at the Democratisation Policy Council; and in Brussels, Peter Klepp, EU Policy Analyst and Editor-in-Chief of BrusselsReport.eu. Welcome to the programme. Let's begin in Belgrade with Jarko Krajac. The Kosovan government is accusing your government of trying to provoke a serious international conflict. Why is it doing that?
Well, it's obviously all based on completely unresolved relations between Belgrade and Pristina. For the moment, they are more or less frozen. But this particular incident has been provoked by the fact that 5 years ago in Brussels, some measure of agreement has been achieved, including car license plates. It was set up and signed by the current president of Serbia, Mr. Vucic, that after 5 years, this problem is going to be resolved. 5 years actually expired a few weeks ago. And the prime minister of Kosovo, Kurti, said, OK, now we can resolve it in two ways. Either cars from both parts go through, drive through the respective countries without any restrictions, or we will quid pro quo, make the same provision that Serbian cars with Serbian car plates will have to also have provisional Kosovo plate. And then Vucic and sent police, special police forces at the border. And Vucic, the president of Serbia, reacted very angrily. And he said, basically, I'm just quoting him, it's not what I think, but basically that's what he said, Serbia is a recognized country, member of UN. You cannot dictate us that we should change our car license plates. And Kosovo, on the other hand, is not fully recognized sovereign country, and we are not going to change our position. Of course, the big question is, why then did he sign this agreement 5 years ago? And I have also to mention and that Kosovo has local elections in a month. So Albin Kurti, the prime minister of Kosovo, has reasons to behave, so to say, in a tough way in this particular crisis. On the other hand, Vucic wants to present himself as a strong leader. And he also has, in like 6-7 months, he has elections in Serbia, including presidential elections. So in this case, we have a conflict potential at the border, a rather serious one, for no real reason whatsoever. Car license plates are such a trivial, so to say, thing. And of course, if you want my personal opinion, there's absolutely no reason why this quid pro quo should not be resolved in a way that Kosovo cars and vehicles go through Serbia with their own car plates and number plates, and Serbian cars continue to go into Kosovo.
Surely, Jarko, the quickest way of doing that is to recognize Kosovo.
That won't come anytime soon. You have to, I'm exposing the position of my government, not my own, is that, as you know, recognizing Serbia claims it's illegal, so to say, declaration of independence. And there is a number of countries in the world that did not recognize Kosovo independence, like China, Russia, many other countries. I have to emphasize, which is interesting, that there are some EU countries that did not recognize independence of Kosovo: Spain, Greece, Slovakia, Romania, Cyprus. So you are neither here nor there. What Serbia wants is some negotiation settlement, but I have no idea what this particular government, that I do not support, and I strongly disagree with its policies. It's unclear to me how they see a compromise in the case of Kosovo declared independence. I don't see. I've never seen a real proposal from Belgrade how to resolve this.
Bodo Weber in Berlin, what is Pristina thinking right now? Is it, as our guest in Belgrade says, a mixture of domestic issues, elections and talking tough, and the fact that there hasn't been an agreement in 5 years? Or is this simply Kosovo now asserting some independence?
Well, I would agree with my predecessor that what has turned into one of the most serious clashes and conflict dispute in years between Kosovo and Serbia over in the framework of this long-lasting status dispute. Serbia disputing the status as an independent state of the Republic of Kosovo is really has been a minor issue. This is, let me remind you, it's about a previous agreement, one of two dozen agreements struck within the context of the so-called EU-led political dialogue established between Kosovo and Serbia, established in 2012. It is covering an issue of a provisional transitional agreement that started in 2011, was extended for 5 more years in 2016, as Mr. Kovac has noted, and expired mid of April this year. So this, on the one hand, is a very marginal issue. On the other hand, we have seen a new government, Mr. Kurti's government, former opposition protest movement, turned party government that came into government, into power, beginning of this year, much more assertive, not only towards Serbia, but also towards the West, and not being as flexible and maybe conformist towards the West as any previous government. But the very fact that this minor issue and the agreement of 2016 left open to review the issue when this agreement expires, which happened on September 14 this year, and maybe to extend it. So the very fact that there was no basis or for Belgrade and Pristina this time agreeing, that is not only on Pristina. This mirrors the fact that we've seen a political dialogue set up in 2012-13 by a very strong performing German Chancellor Merkel in cooperation with the entire EU and the US, having achieved a historic breakthrough
Let's talk about the EU's role here. It is quite crucial. We have in Brussels Peter Kleppe. Peter, I mean, where is the EU in all of this right now? I mean, it's said that in order to join the bloc, both countries need to recognise each other and they need to sort this out. That hasn't happened in 21 years.
No, and indeed, to expect Serbia to recognise Kosovo anytime soon is probably not very realistic. I think in general, the situation is, of course, very tense. These conflicts go back a very long time. But here, I mean, this is a region where the European Union actually does have quite a bit of influence. And then particularly on Kosovo, where the EU even can even is playing a role in its institutions. It has a role in the appointment of judges, for example. So I mean, if of all the conflicts in the world, I mean, this is actually an area where the EU could have some pull. Now, the EU has, of course, made an effort. It has, with limitations, of course, tried to pacify the situation, avoided to pick sides, which I think is very important. It's dangerous to pick a side, even if you secretly think one side is more guilty than the other side. I must say that also, on the other hand, in recent years, the EU has missed certain opportunities. And then I'm particularly thinking of the idea that is pushed forward by Serbia to have some kind of a mini Schengen in the Western Balkans. So the idea of Serbia is to have an area with its neighbors that are not a member of the EU, where there would not be any passport checks. So I think that's something you would expect the EU to support. And interestingly, the countries that are most opposed to it are Kosovo and Montenegro. So for Kosovo, where the EU has most influence, and Montenegro, that is, so to speak, already most integrated in the west of all the Western Balkan countries, given the fact that it is a NATO member state. Now, they sort of see this as a grand Serbian ID. I mean, and you can sort of follow the logic, but at the end of the day, the idea is not to have any passport checks. So this is obviously great for people in Montenegro, in Serbia, in Albania, in Kosovo. So perhaps I think the EU should have exploited that opportunity, the fact that Serbia is actually proposing something that is breaking down barriers,
Let's put that to our guest in Belgrade. One of the things Peter Kleppe is saying, Jocko Karas, is actually this is a solvable conflict by the European Union. It has some influence within the region, particularly in Kosovo. So why isn't the Serbian government listening and why isn't peace breaking out?
You know, I always like the proverb, I don't know where from, where there is wish, there is a mean. Meaning, if you really want to do something, you will find a way to do it. And I agree with my life experience, exactly that. The problem, of course, is that Serbia, everything now sees as a problem of its, so to say, quiet recognition of Kosovo. Allowing, strangely enough, Kosovo car license plates to go through Serbia. I want to explain something to give an information to your audience and you. 95% of vehicles from Kosovo, buses, they just pass Serbia. They don't stay in Serbia. They just go through Serbia into Western Europe because Serbia is on the north of Kosovo. And they need to take this route to go into Western Europe. A lot of Albanians, citizens of Kosovo, work in your EU countries. So they just pass through. It's really a minor problem. But Serbia, obviously this government, sees this as sovereign states have agreements that are, so to say, mutually agreed. And they on a, so to say, on an equal footing, which, by the way, is not completely true. And then Serbia thinks, and this leader, particularly Mr. Vucic, that he makes this concession, he will be accused of making some kind of major concession towards independence of Kosovo. I don't agree. Personally, I don't agree at all. I think this is a fabricated crisis.
You seem to be saying that this is a minor crisis. But when it comes to things like license plates. When it comes to national identity and nationalism, having your little flag on your license plate or having it, it becomes a very important thing, particularly for newer nations who are trying to establish their identity. It is about license plates. This was the spark, but this is much more than just about allowing cars to go through, allowing buses to go through Serbia. This is about establishing a national identity. And the bottom line is that Serbia doesn't recognise Kosovo and therefore doesn't want any Kosovan signs within Serbia itself. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Well, being a psychologist, I'm fully aware of what you're saying. You're talking about the value of symbolic things. The car license plates in this case are becoming a symbolic thing. But the answer to this is they shouldn't, because Kosovo vehicles were actually going through Serbia with this Serbian so-called temporary license plate. So what Mr. Kurti, the Prime Minister of Kosovo, wants is to make this quid pro quo. There is one problem, and we are, I'm sorry to a little bit expand this debate. Mr. Kurti became a prime minister by saying that previous government of Kosovo, the government he replaced, was actually, and I'm literally translating his accusation, was illegal because they, so to say, bought or they got on their side some MPs, and they have a very minor, the former Kosovo government had a very minor majority in Kosovo parliament. So he's actually saying, I don't accept any agreement that was signed in Brussels, that was signed by the previous government, which brings us nowhere. I don't think Kurti should go that way, because then Vučić is doing exactly the same. He's saying, okay, I signed this 5 years ago. You did not fulfill some obligations from that agreement on your side, so I'm not going to fulfill obligations on my side. Basically, this cannot go forever. There are armed Kosovo right. special forces, police special forces. The Serbs are sleeping in tents there. They are 24 hours blocking two passes. Mm. And to add a curiosity, these are two passes, border passes between Kosovo and Serbia, but one is open. Mm. And some Serbs, Pristina claims that about 2,000 vehicles actually took temporary Kosovo license plates. So it shows that there are reasonable people also on both sides, on Serbian side as well, Kosovo Serbian side. And they know that this, if this drags on, and the crossing, the closure of these border passes will have effects not only political, but also economic, because no trucks that bring food, that bring
things. Al Jazeera actually did today is we actually did reach out to the Kosovan government, including the Prime Minister's office, to try and get the Kosovan response to exactly what you're saying. They didn't get back to us and, in fact, in some cases, I think actually turned us down. But in Berlin, we do have Bodo Weber. And Bodo, you're a keen watcher of the region. One of the things that we're really talking about right now is this idea of national identity, and national identity being important and played through things like license plates. Is this an intractable conflict? Is this like an argument between two countries that's just unresolvable simply because these are two very young nation states who are trying to establish a national identity?
Listen, I mean, this kind of rhetoric and narrative about intractable and ethno-nationalist conflicts we have seen during the 1990s wars, but they were more a reflection of the West lacking the political will to seriously engage. This conflict is all but intractable. Let me remind you that in 2012-13, when led by Germany, Chancellor Merkel, and the US and the UK, the EU seriously, with US support, started to deal with the status dispute. They managed to establish the political dialogue, Kosovo, Serbia, EU-led. They managed to pressure Serbia with their leverage towards recognizing, de facto recognizing, the existence of an independent state of Kosovo and the loss of Kosovo for the state of Serbia. We had the April 2013 agreement, which was a de facto recognition through the linking of or the conditioning of EU membership perspective for Serbia with recognizing the reality of an independent Kosovo. It was only a question of time to follow through with that dialogue. But as the EU and the West did not follow through, this dialogue gradually slipped into crisis and turned into the opposite, and turned into Serbia and Kosovo, the leaders exploiting the weakness of the West and trying to turn this dialogue into their opposite. So for 5 years, these negotiations are in crisis, and the fact that the minor issue of a provisional agreement on license plate, but behind which is the bigger issue of recognition of Kosovo, which I repeat, was not an issue. We had a breakthrough, a potential one on this 10 years ago, that it returns us into a major crisis.
Let's bring in Peter Kleppe here in Brussels.
This is about the weakness of the West.
Let's bring in Peter Kleppe in Brussels. We are talking about license plates, but much more than that. We're talking about regional rivalries. Every time we talk about Kosovo, we talk about the European Union. Every time we seem to talk about Serbia, we talk about Russia. We're talking about very powerful players backing these two small countries. And that's why this conflict hasn't been solved in 21 years. There's just a failure there, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think we should always stress that the problem is there. I mean, and whatever mistake the EU may have made, ultimately, the problem is with Kosovo and Serbia. Now, that said, what the previous guest also mentioned is that the EU hasn't actually followed through on its promises. And I think that's true. The EU has been making what you could call perhaps false promises, suggesting that EU membership was around the corner. And interestingly, today it emerged that there were diplomatic reports revealing basically what everybody knows, that there's great opposition in EU member states against rushing to grant membership to these Western Balkan countries. So I think the lesson here are two. First of all, the EU should refrain from making the false promise of a quick EU membership. And secondly, they should also have an alternative. An alternative that does not mean that these countries will never become member of the EU, but some kind of an arrangement that already could mean some progress. And there, again, I would like to mention this kind of idea of a single market or a Schengen passport-free zone for these Western Balkan countries that are not yet a member of the European Union. And I think those are realistic projects that...
Sorry, Peter, we are running out of time, and I do want to put your point. I do want to put your point to our other guests. I'm going to start in Belgrade first with Jaco Karas. Jaco, is EU membership that much of a deal for Serbia that it's willing to solve its conflict with Kosovo in order to get it? Or is EU membership not even a thing that is worth even discussing?
Look, the UN are famous for having all kinds of wordings in agreements that basically say essence, but the wording is really different. I will give you an example. I'm not sure Serbia will ever fully recognize Kosovo independent, but you can always sign so-called a mutually binding agreement. That's it. Or Serbia will agree not to block Kosovo bid to become member of UN. So you can always have ways to find the solution.
Sorry, Jaco, I'm going to have to cut you off there because I do want to make this point to Bodo Weber as well. Is EU membership important for Pristina? Just very quickly.
It is important for both countries. Until that membership perspective was credible, we were on the path for Serbia solving its issue and moving towards recognizing Kosovo. Since we have a spat among member states over enlargement, when we have a serious conflict between French President Macron, generally being against enlargement and membership perspective, and Berlin, this perspective became uncredible, and the whole dialogue and the solution towards a solution of this status dispute was waning, okay. And that's why we ended in this. And if we don't have this membership perspective, we will neither solve this conflict and we will move back into open conflict.
I want to thank all our guests, Jaco Karas, Bodo Weber and Peter Kleppe. And thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. We are @AJInsideStory. From me, Imran Khan, and the whole team here, bye for now.